again, Isaiah 9, verse 6. Isaiah speaking of Christ, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So Isaiah, under the inspiration, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, is engrossed by the person of Jesus Christ. And no doubt as he writes these words, he does so with great jubilation, does so with great anticipation, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Then he proceeds with no doubt deep reverence to describe this one. "And his name shall be called Wonderful." And then you see there's a comma, and then you have the next thing, another comma, and so on. But again, as we said this morning, Wonderful is somewhat of a summation of all his names, all his titles, who he is. As we said this morning, his name declares who he is, declares what he is, declares his mission, the work that he would accomplish while he was here. The word Wonderful, as we saw again, something marvelous, something lovely, something glorious, something awesome. "And his name shall be called Wonderful." It's something that transcends the ordinary. And that's his name. And as we saw this morning, the best way to understand the word Wonderful is to look at it in two words. Wonder, meaning that which causes awe and amazement. And then the word full, abounding, overflowing. His name shall be called Wonderful. That is, everything that he is in his person, everything that he does, is marvelous, is glorious, is lovely. Everything about him causes marvel, amazement, and awe. We saw this morning that he is wonderful, and hopefully he grows more wonderful to us each and every day. I want to speak tonight on maintaining the wonder. Maintaining the wonder. I believe oftentimes we, each one of us, lose our wonder. We lose the wonder. We read in Matthew chapter 8, as the result of Jesus calming a storm, in Matthew 8, verse 27, "But the men marveled." The men marveled. That is, they stood in awe. They were struck with wonder, asking, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey his voice?" The apostles marveled when Jesus calmed the storm. They marveled at his person. They marveled at what he had just done. We read in Matthew 15, verse 31, following a mass healing, we see that the people had brought the maimed and the blind and so forth to Christ. Christ would heal them individually. And we read, "The multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see. And the result of that was, it says, and they glorified God. They glorified the God of Israel. So their wonder caused them to glorify the Lord. Their wonder caused them to worship the Lord. I don't believe we can worship if we lose our wonder. Wonder is a key ingredient in worship. In Acts chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, following the healing of a lame man outside of the temple. Remember that lame man walked into the temple and praising God. And we read, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms. And they were filled with wonder. They were filled with wonder. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. They were overcome with wonder. They were overcome with amazement. And again, these are just a few incidents of people overcome with a sense of marvel, with a sense of awe, with a sense of amazement. All because of this one who is named Wonderful. Matthew chapter 8. Again, when Jesus calmed the storm and the apostles marveled, they were overcome with a sense of reverence. They were overcome with a sense of amazement. Now you think about that. At that time, the apostles would have already witnessed several of Christ's miracles. If you view his miracles chronologically, there were several miracles that they had already witnessed before he calmed the storm. He had already changed the water to wine. He had already healed the nobleman's son. There was that great catch of fish. That had already taken place. The leper had already been healed. The centurion's servant had been healed. The widow's son had been raised to life. Demoniac had been healed. Peter's mother-in-law was healed. The paralytic, the four men who carried the paralytic to where Jesus was, that had already taken place. The man with the withered hand and how his hand was restored, that had already taken place. The blind and dumb demonic healed, that had already taken place. So they'd seen many things. And then you come to Matthew 8 and Jesus calms the storm. And they marveled. And they marveled. That is, they were still in wonder about the person and about the deeds of Jesus Christ. They had not yet become so accustomed to him that they had lost their wonder. There is a danger of becoming so familiar with something that we cease to appreciate, that we lose our wonder. And I believe that's one of the greatest problems that we have. And again, it affects all of us. It's one of the greatest deficiencies we have today, is we have a tendency to lose our wonder. God's people, saved by God's amazing grace, can lose their sense of reverence, can lose their sense of amazement and wonder at the person and work of Jesus Christ. So many of God's people are filled with wonder when it comes to athletics or education. but they've lost their wonder concerning the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And it's a danger we must all guard against. Think about the lepers that Jesus healed several. We don't know what happened to them after they were healed. The Bible doesn't tell us. That's true of all the healing miracles of Christ. We don't know what happened 10 years later to them. But the lepers that Jesus healed, I wonder if some of them became so accustomed to being healed that they forgot the blessing that brought them to that state. I'm sure that there were some who lost the wonder. You know, when Jesus healed those lepers and those leper spots just vanished, they were filled with wonder. But as life went on, I wonder how many lost the wonder of it. I'm sure some did. The paralytic that was carried on that bed by four of his friends to where Jesus was. Remember, they let him down through the roof. He's before Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, "Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house." And the man was healed. And he got off that bed, he picked up the bed, and he walked on. As far as we know, he walked every day since then. But again, I wonder if he ever got so accustomed to walking. If walking ever became so natural to him, so ordinary, that he forgot the miracle that brought it to pass. You know that that day that he walked home, I'm sure he leaped, he ran, he did everything. He praised God all the way. But what about a year later? We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But I can imagine that he perhaps lost the wonder. Because that's what we do. That's what God's people do. The first time that he walked, there was a thrill. There was excitement. There was praise. There was thanksgiving. Those things filled his soul. Wonder filled his soul. And I don't know if he ever became so accustomed to walking that he lost that original thrill, that original excitement. We don't know if he did or not, but we do know this. Many have. Many have. Many who have been miraculously healed, many who have been saved by the grace of God, have forgotten the miracle that took place. We can become so accustomed to being saved that we forget that we lose the wonder of being saved. And that can happen to all of us. It can happen to us at any time. You think of the man who was crippled for 38 years. Sat hopelessly at the pool of Bethesda. And you think of that day when Jesus came to where he was and he said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And for the first time in 38 years, that man felt something in his legs that he never felt before. And he was able to walk. And all the wonder that filled his soul. The Bible doesn't tell us years after what happened to the man. I don't know, again, if he ever became so accustomed to walking that he forgot the miracle that made it so. I don't know if he ever got so accustomed to walking that he lost the thrill and the excitement of walking. But many have. Many have lost the thrill. They have lost the excitement of the miracle that took place. That's why it's good to go back and down memory lane to the day that the Lord saved our soul. We need to go back there often so we don't lose the wonder of being saved. Most of us here have been saved for most of our lives, for well over half of our lives. And there's a danger. It's a glorious thing to be saved. But there's a danger that we become so accustomed to it that we lose the wonder. That's true when we, Brother Larry's been stressing, it's true when we come into the house of God. It's true we can become so accustomed to what we do that we just become robots and we lose the wonder. You think of the man with the shriveled hand. There he is sitting in the temple. Jesus came into that temple for that man that day. And Jesus said unto him, stretch forth thine hand. And when he did, it was restored whole like the other. And all the wonder that filled his soul when his hand was made whole. As far as we know, from that day on, that man was able to use that hand just like he could use his other hand. But I wonder if he ever got so accustomed to using the restored hand that he forgot the miracle that took place. That he forgot the miracle of restoration. I don't know if he ever became so accustomed to the restored hand that he lost the thrill and the excitement. I don't know. But we do know that many have lost that thrill and lost that excitement over being saved. Knowing the truth. We can become so accustomed to knowing truth that we forget the wonder of it. We're no longer amazed at the truth. Remember the truths and remember when the Lord showed you truth. What a thrill when the Lord opens your eyes and shows you truth. And that's still taking place in our lives. You read a scripture and you see something you never saw before. It's been there the whole time. But the Lord opens our eyes and it's a thrill. And if, as time goes on, we begin to act like we're smarter than everybody else and forget the miracle that took place. The demoniac of Gadara had a legion of demons. Dwelt among the tombs, was absolutely out of his mind. He was uncontrollable. He was self-destructive. Cut himself with stones. Cried in the night. Scared people half to death. Disrupted the lives of many. And Jesus came to him and spoke to the demons and said, come out of him. And the demons departed. Can you imagine being filled with a legion of demons and they all leave your body at one time? Don't tell me he didn't feel something. And oh, what a wonder he felt when those demons left his body. We know the account. As a result, we see he's clothed. He's in his right mind. He's clothed and in his right mind. Those who run around naked are not in their right mind. Clothed and in his right mind. He wear no clothes, the Bible tells us. But when those demons left, he was clothed and he was in his right mind. And all the thrill that he felt being loosed from the grip of Satan. and the thrill and the excitement as he returned to his family, restored and made whole, and all the wonder that filled his soul. And again, I don't know if the man ever became so accustomed to being free from the chains and free from the grip of Satan that he forgot the wonder of it all. But many have. We too were in the grip of Satan. We too were in the chains of sin. A miracle of grace took place and those chains were broken and we were set free. And we've been free ever since. But sometimes we become so accustomed to the liberty that we forget the miracle that took place. We lose our wonder. The woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. For 12 years, she was in absolute misery. For 12 years, she suffered the consequences of the Mosaic law. For 12 years, she went to various physicians just hoping for a cure. For 12 years, she spent everything she had. And instead of getting better, she was worse. She's a picture of misery. And one day, she heard that Jesus was passing through. She made her way through that crowd that thronged Jesus and she touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the account goes on to say that she felt that the flow of blood had been dried up in her. And oh, what a joy and thrill that filled her soul at that moment. Oh, the wonder that filled her soul. And again, we don't know if she ever got so used to being whole that she forgot the marvel, she forgot the wonder. But again, many have. We too have been miraculously made whole. But many have forgotten. Many have lost the wonder. You see, that's where pride sets in. That's where self-righteousness sets in, when we begin to lose our wonder, when we forget the miracle that took place to make it so. The woman who was bent in double for 18 years, Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmities." And then it says, he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight. And it says she glorified God. Imagine what she felt that day. Bent double, and immediately she's made straight. All the wonder that filled her soul. Again, we don't know if she ever became so accustomed to walking upright that she forgot the wonder of it all. But again, many have. Many have forgotten. Many have lost the wonder. Think of blind Bartimaeus, sitting on the side of the road, begging. Begging with the passerbys. He hears a commotion. He knows something is going on. And he asked what it meant, and the people said, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." And immediately Bartimaeus began to cry out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." And it says the Lord stood still at the cry of Bartimaeus. And the people came to Bartimaeus and said, "Bartimaeus, he calleth thee." Bartimaeus made his way to Jesus Christ, and Jesus took away his blindness. And the first thing he saw was Jesus, and all the wonder that filled his soul. And again, we don't know if Bartimaeus ever became so accustomed to seeing that he lost the thrill and the amazement of it? But many have. Many have lost the thrill of the miraculous. His name shall be called Wonderful. And is this person, Jesus Christ, that fills the pages of the Word of God. And many read the Word of God today, God's people, and they've lost their wonder for the one who fills the pages of the Word of God. Many are no longer overcome with wonder and amazement when they read the Word of God. What a wonder it is to read, to study the Word of God. All biblical truths converge in Jesus Christ. All biblical promises radiate from Jesus Christ. All biblical duties are exemplified in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for they speak of me." Oh, what wonder ought to fill our souls when we read the Word of God. When you read this book, our hearts ought to overflow with reverence. Our hearts ought to overflow with amazement. I don't care if you read the same passage every day for a year. Each time you read it, there ought to be wonder. Every time. We must not become so accustomed to Scripture. We need to become accustomed to Scripture, but not so accustomed that we lose the wonder of the Word of God. Many have lost their wonder and fascination of who Jesus is. John the Baptist pointed to Christ and he said with greater wonder, "Behold the Lamb of God." And he said that with great joy. "Behold the Lamb of God." And set your eyes upon Him today. Look at Him. Look at Him with the eyes of faith. And remember that everything He is for us. He is the first and last. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Creator. He's the Keeper. He's the one who always was, always is, always will be. He's the brightness of the Father's glory. He's mighty God. He's the sovereign Lord of all. He's holy. He's righteous. He's pure. He's our high priest. He's our mediator between God and man. He's the only Redeemer, the only Savior of sinners. He is faithful. He is true. He is the light of the world. He is the way to God. He is the door to heaven. And oh, that we would never lose the wonder and fascination of who He is and what He is. And what He does. He is the one who is superior to all. Why? Because He's God. He's God. He's Emmanuel. He's the Lord of glory, the Lord from heaven, the Lord of the dead and the living. He is the one in whom all fullness dwells. He's the one in whom God is always pleased. Oh, what wonder as we behold Him. No wonder the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 12 verse 1 said, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." That's how you maintain wonder. You keep looking at Him. And there's a thrill. Many have lost their wonder and fascination over what He has done for us. Jesus, in love, out of love, for me, left the glories of heaven. He became poor, that I would be rich. He took all of my sin upon Himself. What wonder. You read Isaiah 53. You ought to read that often. Isaiah 53. Picture it. See it by faith. And all the wonder that Jesus would take all of my murmurings, all of my rebellions, all of my covetousness, all of my selfishness and my stubbornness and all of my rejections of God and all my wanderings from God, all my pride, all my self-will, all my unforgiveness, all my hardness of heart, all my coldness, all my unbelief, and whatever else you can name, took it upon Himself, and out of love for me, went to the cross and bore the punishment of every single one of my sins. What a wonder. What wonder. And then as he went to the cross with all of our sins upon Him, all the accusations, it took place at the cross. All the mockings, all the ridicule, all the shame, all the spitting, and all the smitings and the thirst and the pain. Why? Because our sins were upon Him. He was despised. He was rejected. For me. He was filled with sorrow of heart for me. He was put to grief for me. He was stricken. He was smitten. He was afflicted for me. He was wounded and bruised for me. He was chastised and pierced for me. We must never, ever, ever lose the wonder that Christ paid my sin debt in full. You think about the sin debt. That is a debt that time will not wipe away. You can get in debt today, and after so many years passes, it's gone, whether you pay it or not. But there is a debt that time never undoes. It's the sin debt. And there's no greater debt than the sin debt. We couldn't pay it. We didn't have enough to pay it. We didn't have anything to pay it. We were bankrupt. But He paid it, and He paid it in full. We must never lose the wonder of that. Every time you and I go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me for whatever. And that should happen every day. The wonder ought to hit us. I can be forgiven because Jesus Christ paid my sin debt nearly 2,000 years ago. Many have lost the wonder and the fascination over the fact that He saved their soul. We must never lose the thrill, the excitement of Jesus, my Savior. Never lose the excitement of being saved. Saved by the one whose name is wonderful. And because of that, Today, you and I that are saved have sufficiency in all things. We have access to God. Every time we approach God, we ought to do so in wonder. The only reason we can approach God is because of this one whose name is called Wonderful. You can't approach God by bypassing Jesus Christ. You must approach God through Jesus Christ. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. You say, well, that it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. In Jesus' name. And as we say those words, the wonder ought to just overcome us. I have a great high priest in this one whose name is Wonderful. I have peace with God. Oh, the blessing of peace with God. And it's all because of this one whose name is Wonderful. I am never alone. Never. You know, people, I understand people want to be with their loved ones when they pass from this life. I understand that. But know this, no child of God dies alone. We're never alone. Don't beat yourself up. Don't feel guilty. Well, I wasn't there when they took their last breath. They were all by themselves. No, they weren't. Child of God is never alone. All because of this one whose name is Wonderful. Never forsaken. Proclaim not guilty in the high court of heaven. All because of this one whose name is Wonderful. We must not lose the wonder of saved. That we are saved. Knowing Him that is Wonderful gives our life meaning. Being filled with wonder concerning Him gives our life meaning. Knowing Him that is Wonderful gives our life purpose, gives our life value, gives our life wonder. Knowing Him that one is Wonderful gives centrality to our life. It gives foundation to our life. We must maintain the wonder. How do we do that? It's easy to lose the wonder. It really is. I believe most of God's people have, and we all have from at times. How do we maintain the wonder? Really, the wonder ought to grow. It's not just maintaining it, it ought to be growing. Because the more we know Him, the more filled with wonder we ought to be. Well, we maintain the wonder by staying near to Him. You got to stay close to the Lord. People say, well, how do you do that? Well, I believe a good piece of advice is every day, several times a day, you need to repent. You need to make examination of where you are. Stay close. Stay close. Don't let a day go by. That's what happens. People go 2, 3, 4, 5 days. You can get a long ways off in that time frame. Don't do that. Stay in fellowship with Him. Stay in contact with Him. What that does is it deepens our relationship with Him. You can learn all the doctrines, and this in no way minimizes the importance of doctrine. But you can learn all the doctrines, you can know truth, and be light years from Him. You can preach, you can teach. That doesn't mean you have a relationship with the Lord. If you're going to keep the wonder, if the wonder is going to grow, you have to have a deepening relationship with Him. It has to deepen every day. We maintain the wonder by meditating upon Him. I believe very strongly that every day we ought to take time to just think about the Lord. I don't care if you only take a minute. But there needs to be time where we just think about God. Get our minds off everything else. Whatever else is going on doesn't matter. Take the time to meditate upon God. Take the time to meditate upon what God has done in saving your soul. That's how you maintain. That's how the wonder grows. Because we cannot afford to lose our wonder. Because when we do, we lose our zeal for Him. And we lose our ability to worship the Lord. Again, wonder is an ingredient of true worship. We can go through the motions without wonder, but you can't worship without wonder, without a sense of awe, without a sense of amazement. It is when we're filled with wonder that we're willing to submit to Him. Those who want to argue about whether they should do this for the Lord or that, you want to argue about everything, find a loophole in everything, they have no wonder. Because if you're filled with a sense of wonder, you will be ready to submit to whatever it is. It's when our hearts are filled with wonder that we're ready to serve Him with our lives. Again, you don't wait till everything else is taken care of and then serve the Lord with what's left. We're to serve the Lord with our lives. And when we're filled with wonder, we do that. It's when our hearts are filled with this wonder, this fascination, that we desire a closer association with Him, more personal contact with Him, a warmer friendship with Him. And as we have those things, guess what? The wonder increases. It's when our hearts are filled with wonder and fascination that we enjoy Him. I've come to the conclusion many years ago that most of God's people do not enjoy the Lord. That's sad. That's truly sad. But that's what happens when you lose your wonder. You don't enjoy the Lord. So we need to examine our hearts today as to whether or not we have lost the wonder of who Jesus is, who this one is, whose name is called Wonderful. When you first came to a saving knowledge of Christ, your heart was filled with wonder. You were fascinated at the very thought of Jesus Christ. Hopefully, by now, we know Him more. We know Him better. Our relationship has grown. And if that is so, then our wonder has grown as well. So, do you still have the wonder today? He is wonderful. He is full of that which causes wonder. Are you still fascinated at the thought of Jesus Christ? Do you ever get tired of hearing about Jesus Christ? We ought never get tired of hearing it. Never get tired. It's a sad verse there in Isaiah. Or not Isaiah, Malachi. Malachi, the Lord asks, "Wherein have I wearied thee? Wherein have I wearied thee?" What he's saying there is, what have I done to make you tired of me? That's a good question. We must not lose our wonder. We must encourage one another to look unto Jesus. Look unto Christ. Keep your eyes upon Christ. That's always the answer. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Christ. That's where the answer is. You don't need to look anywhere else. But that is a key also in keeping our wonder and having our wonder grow, is to always be looking unto Jesus Christ, always drawing closer, always seeking to be near to Jesus Christ. God help us that we be a people filled with wonder, that we never lose that sense of wonder for the Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.